books or things you want to raise?
A couple of things jumped out at me in my reading, I guess things I like to refer to later. One is the divisions within the tabernacle. So there's a couple of veils they're referred to as in different places. I wonder if anybody noticed the difference between the veils. There's a veil dividing the most holy place from the holy place, the holy of holies from the holies. And then there's the screen on the, which is basically the door to the whole structure, which leads out into the courtyard.
So the cherubim thing?
That's the one with the cherubim.
The cherubim are there on the inner veil, but not on the outer one.
So it's like a vestibule area, maybe?
Yeah, in a way, it is, yeah. Is everybody aware of what used to happen in the various parts of the tabernacle or the temple and the frequency with which that would happen?
I think that the priest went in once a year to the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Was it every day they went into the holy place to burn incense?
Yes, I think so. That's right. So that's a daily thing, but yes, once a year, the high priest and only the high priest in special robe would go in and offer atonement sacrifice in the most holy place. Yeah, that's right. So, and that was referred to in the Hebrews reading.
And then the birth of John the Baptist. His father's, that was her turn to go into the...
Yes.
To do
the incense offering.
Yeah. Not to do the holy,
So the difference between the veils was interesting to me. And the other thing was the furniture. I'm intrigued that the furniture is designed, or the design is given before the tabernacle. So it's very definitely there to house something. And then, of course, as you go on, there's more furniture given, and there's the design on the courtyard as well. So it's all there. And there's, what is the furniture? So there's our tabernacle, there's the dividing line, there's the screen. What's the furniture and where does it go?
Well, the ark goes in the Holy of Holies.
So, yeah, we've got the ark.
And then you've got the table on the...
North side.
What's on the ark?
Oh, the mercy seat.
The mercy seat. Then what was the next thing?
The showbread table.
On the north side. So we've got the table.
And the candlestick on the left side.
So we've got this little altar thing. Does anybody know what furniture was in the court?
The lather.
And?
The altar.
And sacrifice place. Must have been awash with blood. Must have been gross.
Things that intrigued me about it was that the mercy seat is hammered work. So is this. I haven't read up about these. This is the shittim wood, or the acacia wood, or cedar wood, depending upon what you're reading. So is this. The ark itself is. These are all gold. This, I think, is bronze.
I can't recall what they're on.
Bronze as well. Okay, so... any idea what all of that might... Does it suggest anything to anybody? The furniture, the placing, the substances they're made out of?
Just on the order of things, like you spoke about, furniture being mentioned, you know, before.
Yeah.
Certainly when you look at from chapter 24, the thing that struck me is that it's internal, like moving from internals to externals.
Yeah. So
what's within to what's without.
Yeah, this is the first thing that, in fact, this is the first thing that's mentioned. Then there's this. Mm. Then we move on to these. The altar incense?
It's not mentioned.
Not mentioned. No. So for the moment...
Got my altar.
For the moment, it's not there.
Yeah, it's like you've got to have, you know, all the golden things. You've got to have some experience of love and something for the Lord to be able to build the tabernacle around it.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. So our picture for the moment is without the incense altar. Just be aware of that. It does end up in the eventual design, but it's not there yet. So you've got this furniture. This is the first. This is the first thing. So let's number it. One. Two. What's the next thing that's designed in the chapter? Anybody else? Chapter 25.
It's written on there.
It moves into the bread, the tables.
Table.
The...
Yeah. It's written on the right hand side of the board.
Lampstand. Oh, that's clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that's not in that picture, but the materials are asked for, Aaron's garlands and stones. So they are in the picture as well.
Yes. Yes. Then, of course, we move on. I think, let me just check the next chapter 27. We have the altar of burnt offering in the court. He talks about the care of lampstand. That's when then the 28th, the priest. Wood garments come in, leave by the breastplate. So this then is the next thing that gets later. Okay.
The altar of incense is in chapter 30.
Okay. So chapter 30, chapter 27. So, look, here's what I make of this. The tabernacle is very definitely built to house all this stuff. Okay, it's the stuff that's described first, and that's the most important part. But I think we have influx. Okay, so this is identified as where the Lord resides. There's a place that it resides here. It's that stuff. And it's particularly like the testimony which is contained within the ark. But there is a connection, I think, between each of these pieces of furniture and these pieces of furniture. So I'm going to get a different coloured text now. Right. So for me, there's a very definite correlation between these two because they're made of the same stuff. Right. So the ark... and the table of showbread, the mercy seat, and the candlestick, and then of course they flow out here as well. Right, and I'm not going to speculate where. These are different materials, but they flows out there. And then I think the altar of incense comes in, because that's about offering. And that's our reciprocation. See, that's what we then return to the Lord. So that's my understanding of things at the moment from what I can read. So there's the Lord's life, the influx, but it's an outflowing, an outpouring of life into various levels of our mind and into, you know, to our very bodies. And then there's the return... Our return to the Lord through the incense, table of incense.
cherubim on this veil, but not on the screen here. So there's, and even in the way that the whole ritual around it is set up, there's access into this part that is not into this part. Anybody anything else to say? In any case, do so at any time. But here's some things. There's far too many copies, so there'll be a pile down there in front of Michael and Elizabeth. This first sheet that I've given you is it's a brief summary of the on the first page anyway of Sri Lord's material. I really wanted to read you this section. This is 9,632, chapters 2 and 3. Scarcely anyone is aware of the fact that a person governed by the good of love and faith is heaven in the smallest form this can take, or that such a person, in respect both of the more internal aspect of his being and of the more external, corresponds to heaven. If these things had been known, the learned in the Christian world who have acquired some knowledge regarding the parts of the human body could have received some light of understanding and therefore have had some concept of heaven. They could have discerned which particular realities in heaven are represented by the ark, its mercy seat, and the cherubim above it. Which particular realities by the table on which the loaves of the presence were laid, the lampstand and the gold altar for incense. Also, which particular ones are represented by the dwelling place, its curtains, boards and bases, and lastly by the tent and the two coverings over it. For similar things are met with in the human being, in the things with him that are internal and those that are external. They also present themselves in material form in his body. And to these material parts of his body, the internal things have an exact correspondence. For unless the external things which belong to the body had an exact correspondence with the internal ones, which belong to the understanding and the will, there would not be any life in the body, nor thus any actions in accord with them. Similar things are said to be met with in the tabernacle as in the human being, because representatives on the natural level resemble the human form and have the same meaning as the parts of it they resemble. External things within the human being provide four coverings which surround and enclose all that is more internal. These coverings are what animal skins and actual skins of the body refer to. See what has been mentioned from experience in these numbers regarding the correspondence of the latter to internal things. The coverings which constituted the roof and sides of the tabernacle provided a similar representation. From all this, the understanding may gain some light regarding the forms that heaven takes. So, there's something of real import here. Something worth spending the time to get your head around. The little table that I've provided you with is just breaking the chapter from AC up into its sections, its various sections. So the first few numbers, this is the interchapter material on charity and faith, and here in particular the subject is freedom. Then we have the various sections dealing with the different aspects of the chapter, and of course it will just follow the chapter through in the order in which it's presented. So we've got the dwelling place, the dimensions and joining of the linen curtains, we've got the wool curtains, their dimensions and their joining, and the two skin coverings. We've got the Shittim boards, their bases and bars. We've got the veil separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place. We've got the place of the mercy seat, the table and the lampstand. And we've got, so the positioning, not the design of them, but where they actually go. And we have the screen for the tent door. And the final thing is, so it should be spirits, sorry, spirits from another planet who worship an intermediary angel. I knew you'd call that phrase because you were saying something about it on the first day. And I sort of pricked my interest. It's quite fascinating. So here are spirits from a particular planet who feel that God is too holy to worship. So the Lord provides them with an angel, and which it says in actual fact it's a community of angels, to worship as an intermediary, as a way of getting to God through them.
Yeah,
like a high priest, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. What? High priest. The whole thing is intermediary. And even the mountain, you know, like you spoke about the building of the mountain.
Yeah.
That idea that Moses is the intermediary between what is higher and lower.
Yes.
Yeah.
And fascinating thing.
So is that the external world?
Yes, it sure could be. Just as a point, just hold in mind, like this one is about the interchapter material. The first part of the interchapter material is freedom, that's the theme here. The previous, it's forgiveness of sins. So freedom follows on from the remitting of sins.
Nothing's without order, is it?
Absolutely, Paul. Absolutely.
Sorry, what was it?
But nothing's without order.
Nothing is without order.
Can I make a comment? First of all, I'm sorry to start with a typo. And in spite of what I said about Swedenborg's magnificent management of his own writing, 9585 shouldn't descend to 9581, it should ascend to 9591, first number reference.
9585 to 9581. Oh yes, it should be 95.
Small point.
You are quite correct.
The thing that I want to make is, again, this sort of synchronicity thing. Reading the passage this morning in church was very much about those who are the skin in the grand man. I'm talking about animal skins.
Yes.
Okay? And the given use of the skin, or those who are of the skin, Mr. and Mrs. Skinson, is to actually be those who hold truth in its form, okay, in its shape, in its entirety and integrity. And that is because the skin holds out both internal skins, membranes, and outside skin holds the body in its permanent form. So therefore, those in the skin are those who actually are in that use and are seen by others to be rather rigid in their viewpoint, because they're always emphasising the need for correctness and so on. I find that very interesting,
yes, okay,
in that sense, but it comes in with the animal skins here, yes, over the tabernacle,
yes,
keeping the format as it should be.
Yes, okay.
I don't know how this relates, but, you know, in the body, particularly on the skin, at the outside level, is where the body itself reacts violently against any kind of invasion or bruising or whatever. It's
the point. Well said.
It's really the only place.
Yeah.
It's a very strong protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's your largest organ of your body, your skin.
It is. Yeah.
I was thinking the last couple of days, I've been thinking, you know, the wedding cake. I was thinking that, like, in each organ of the body, it's got those levels. You know, it's like every cell's got an internal and an external.
Yeah.
Every organ's got an internal and an external. So, you know, we sort of think three heavens, and there's, you know, they're like that, and they're higher and that. But it's not just in the whole thing. It's each little part of the body, each little part of the ground man's got the three levels within each other.
Just to come back to the idea of intermediary, the whole thing is intermediary.
Mm.
Okay. This is about a dwelling place for the Lord in our lives. And for me, that clicks me into a fascinating word Swedenborg uses, which is accommodation. Accommodation. So it's how we relate to what is good and true in our lives, and that's, you know, where the Lord is to be found. It's the accommodation itself is not the Lord, but it's what houses it, and that's what we have here. And we have it. And Swedenborg specifically talks about intermediaries here at the dividing level. Talks about that as intermediary communities between what is celestial and what is spiritual. There, that sort of got me going on the whole issue of the veil. You know, there was a point where Moses has to wear a veil, okay, because his face shines and it scares everybody. So he has to wear a veil. And the thing about it is, in a sense, it's a protection from, but on the other hand, it gives access to. It's both. So it's not just, it's not a closing down. It's a division, but it gives access to. And so that's
it's a
really
filter.
Important.
It's a filter. It's
without which we actually can't relate to what is behind the veil. And that's a really important part of this picture. It's also, it also brings to mind the clouds of heaven.
And
the whole issue of thing of clouds.
Yeah.
In that, yes, in a sense they hide, but in another sense they also provide the foundation into which something can flow so that we can actually relate to it and understand it and see it. So there's all of that is wrapped up in the way Swedenborg talks about this veil in particular. But then, of course, it's through the whole thing as well. Because, I mean, don't forget the cherubim were pretty much everywhere on the linen curtain.
And when the Lord finished his work in the world, the veil was ripped.
Yeah,
apart.
Yes. And what's interesting about that, I'm not sure if it's Hebrews, but it speaks of the veil that Moses wore was to conceal the decline in glory.
Mm.
So you have this idea of descent, like with Moses, and then with the Lord, the veil is rent open. It's open, so there's an advance in glory. So you have an up-down idea tied in as well.
So I've always thought of the veil as in terms of that which was hidden was open, but
shutting
that's
off,
an interesting
down.
Correspondence okay. because it means that the Lord's life actually exposed the decline. If you read it that way, as well.
showed up.
Not the slide, yeah. Showed up, yeah. Yeah, exposed it. You know.
So at a personal level, it's like we take truth and for me, like I often view the idea of temptation arises from our reluctance to let go of our understanding of truth at a particular point in time to move into what is good. So the idea of taking hold of truth, which is wonderful, we come across it and it's great, you know, you've got these insights, but those insights can act on and are appropriate for that state of life that you might be in at that particular point in time. But as your state begins to shift, that truth is no longer able to contain that and has to be let go of. And then we have this process of struggle while that occurs. And then when it's let go of, there's an opening and a new truth comes to hold the new state in place. And so you have this...
Like the snake shedding its skin every season.
You know, the truth gives us a vision of the glory, but it also conceals what's possible beyond that, because we're always at a finite level. And then it's the breaking through to the good. And it came to me too, Julian, when you were talking about the word explained versus the arcana. Swedenborg struggle can be viewed as a struggle, I might have mentioned it, but to get beyond the literal sense, to get beyond his understanding at any particular point in time. And so you have this like bang and then bang, you know, like it's all
like Maxwell Smart moving through the door.
Yeah, so you have the idea of descent, you know, the truth that's no longer able to serve what is spiritual in terms of your states actually becomes false to you. And then that has to be done away with so that a new truth can come and support the good that comes out of it.